Little hands for Pastor Monty is a scary thing.
Yes, sir. Yep. So we had a busy day today at the Monty Ranch, my voice is a little bit weak today. So I thought I would ask Pastor Scotty to preach for us tonight. That's why I didn't make him sing one of those parts in that song. We stopped with Morris. Where's Morris? Where'd Morris go? Morris, that was beautiful. Wasn't that beautiful? It was beautiful. Give him a round of applause. Morris. Pretty soon they're going to start chanting, Morris, Morris, Morris. Okay, stop. All right, Pastor Scotty.
That was interesting, wasn't it? I don't think that's going to make any CDs anywhere. But that was nice. Preacher with idle hands, when preacher's not preaching in the evening, I get kind of scared. Singing's one of those things, if you put me in front of 2,000 people and asked me to preach, I wouldn't get nervous. I'm just one of those people. And many of you are like that with public speaking. But you ask me to sing, and it's like you're asking me to get married again. I just get nervous, you know? I just get really nervous. My knees shake. You were all nervous when you got married. It's not that... Anyways. Well... All right, 1 Corinthians. I invite you to take your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Kids, you just sit tight. Just sit tight. We will have the kids' service next Sunday. The Sunday you'll be in here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want to thank the church family so much for your prayers for safety. So much for your prayers for just the spiritual aspects of the different trips that we've taken this summer. We've taken, I think, 5 different trips. With the youth this summer, different trips, the guys' trip, the girls' trip, 2 camp trips, and some other trip in there I don't even know about. But we've had a wonderful time this summer, and there will be, and you're wondering, when are we going to get a good update of everything? I know they used to do Out West Trip video updates. We're going to take all the footage and all the pictures that we've taken this summer and put them into a summer recap video and play it in a service upcoming. So we're excited about that. Probably August 25th. August 25th is kind of a special date for the youth and for our church. That is when we will do our teen takeover service here in the Sunday evening service, as well as our kids' play that they've been working on, the Heavenly Express. And I'm very excited for you guys to see that. I've been getting to watch that every Sunday evening, and it's really exciting. I also wanted to mention that we have a yard sale going on August 3rd. August 3rd at 8 a.m. We have a yard sale. It'll be right over at the youth house. But I wanted to mention something. I'm only able to pick up stuff on Friday, and I've got about 6 or 7 people that have already contacted me about picking stuff up on Friday. So if you have stuff for me to pick up, if you wouldn't mind trying your best to get it here on your own, and if not, give me your address, give me the number, and I'll try to find someone to come out there and get your things. But we're excited about that. Come on out and support the youth group. There'll be a donation box as well if you don't want to buy any of your friends' stuff. Or any of your fellow church member stuff, you can at least donate to the missions trip, and that would be wonderful. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verses number 27 through 31. The Bible says, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring not the things that are. That no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." The title of the message this evening is simply, When Honor is Stolen. When honor is stolen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You. Lord, we thank You for the chance that we have to come around Your Word. Father, I just thank You for this great congregation. Lord, this faithful congregation that's here to hear Your Word. Father, I pray that You would speak powerfully through me, through Your Word in this message. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God is the only one worthy of honor and glory. He's the only one. In the military, there are all kinds of medals that you can receive. Right when you get into the military, you get badges, but you don't quite get medals yet. But there's all sorts of different medals that you can receive at different levels of prestige. Ranking second on this list of medals going up would be the Purple Heart. And I know there are some in our congregation right now that possess this medal, and that's a wonderful thing. And it's only awarded to those who were courageously injured in combat. And the Purple Heart is not always given to the person who was injured. Sometimes it's given to the families of someone who has passed away in war, or the families of someone who has passed away courageously fighting for their country. And ranking first is the Medal of Honor. I'm given by the President of the United States, typically empowered by the Congress, so it's usually called the Congressional Medal of Honor, but it's an extremely, extremely the most prestigious medal that you can get. The Medal of Honor is awarded to soldiers who risk their own lives and go over and above and beyond the call of duty while engaged with an enemy of the United States. The medal is typically presented by the President of the United States himself. Jackie Stern was an Army veteran from the Korean War, and he was a holder of both the Purple Heart and the Medal of Honor. For the better part of a decade, Jackie had the opportunity to possess both medals, and Jackie would wear his medals everywhere, specifically the Medal of Honor. He wouldn't leave his house, and it said of people that lived around him, and he was a figurehead in his community, it said that he would not leave his house without wearing his Medal of Honor. And people in his community looked up to Jackie as a hero. People in his community looked up at Jackie, and whenever they had a parade going around, they would put Jackie on the American float, and Jackie would just stand there, and people would cheer and clap for Jackie and say, "Thank you so much for what you've done for our country." He spoke in local high schools. He opened up prayer at many different venues wearing this Medal of Honor, and Stern was a huge part of his community, labeled as a hero. There's only one problem with Stern's heroism. None of it was real. Stern, at the age of 69, was found out that Stern was never in combat. Stern was never awarded any type of medal at all. Stern was a phony. Stern had purchased 10 years prior a Medal of Honor at a war auction, where they were auctioning off many different things, and he purchased the Medal of Honor for $800. He had it authenticized and everything, and he figured, why don't I just get some honor for this? And may I say this tonight? Jackie Stern is sad. It's sad that a man would try to get such honor and prestige that should only be reserved for our greatest soldiers. It's sad that a man like that would steal honor. And in the military, it's called stolen valor. One that pretends to be a soldier to get honor from the community when it is not his honor to be given is simply a disgusting coward, may I even say. There are men all around doing stolen valor. There are men that are homeless, that are using military outfits to try to get money. There are men that are pretending to be veterans, stealing honor from men that deserve it. However, there is something more, there's something worse than stolen valor, and it's stolen honor. Stolen honor that is only to be given to God. But Christians, may I say this, it's an epidemic that we are stealing God's glory and God's honor for ourselves. Sometimes we as Christians, we take the honor and the glory that is only to belong to God, and we take it and we place it on ourselves and we parade ourselves around as if we are something for people to praise and worship, when in fact God is the only one worthy of praise, honor, and glory. Isaiah 42:8 says, "I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images." 1 Corinthians 10:17-18, "But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord, for not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." Galatians 6:14, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Let's notice this evening, when talking about honor and when talking about glory that only belongs to God, let's notice this evening three recognitions we must make to give God His honor and glory back. Three recognitions that we must make to give God His honor and glory back. Isaiah 42. First of all, we must recognize the idol. Recognize the idol. Isaiah 42:8, "I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images." An idol is anything or anyone that takes the place of God in our lives. That's what God is talking about. He's specifically talking about a graven image, one that people built up to worship, but He also says that it's not to be given to another. May I ask you, what is your idol? I think there's two options when it comes to idols in our life. First of all, our idol, and I think for most of us, our idol is ourself. We make ourselves the graven image, and we worship and bow down at the altar of self. Being prideful and self-centered is what this world is all about. You'll see it on television. You'll see it in movies. You'll see it all around in your community. The high school students are being taught, respect yourself, love yourself, honor yourself, treat yourself as you are the most important person in the room. You are probably pushed to believe in yourself, to place all confidence simply in yourself when this is a job that belongs to Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever met someone who was worried, just totally consumed and worried about one person, themselves? I'm sure you have. I'm sure there's someone in your family that you see at Thanksgiving. I'm sure there's someone that you're thinking about now. Don't look at them now. Don't look at them now. Don't start looking and pointing at people. But there's someone in your life that no doubt is a glaring example of a person who wants to cast all attention, all love upon themselves and no one else. They are completely focused on number one, themselves. They were focused on where they will sit when the church meeting starts. They're focused on what they will eat when they're at the back of the line at the potluck, right? That gets a scary moment for all of us. But they are worried about how they will be perceived. They are worried about how much they are mentioned or how much they are praised or how much they are noticed. May I submit to you tonight, we've all been that person that we're thinking about at some point in time. We've all been self-centered and selfish at times, right? We've all had moments in our life when if we were to step back and look at ourselves, that every single day we can notice how we are being selfish, how we are putting ourselves at number one. Know this, that we cannot give honor and glory to God while showing off or thinking how great we are while ignoring the greatness and the might of God. God will not use a vessel full of itself. God is looking for empty vessels, for humble vessels for Himself to fill and to use in this life. May I submit to you, and I know this is true, church, you have talents. Some of you can sing like Pastor Morris. You could just sing, and you've got these golden pipes, and you could sing, and you could bellow, and the church would be impressed by the might of your glorious voice. Right, Pastor Morris? I mean, some of you are talented, like Pastor... I'm just kidding. But some of you have talents. Some of you can play instruments, and it's beautiful. Some of you can even speak. Some of you, maybe you're a Sunday school teacher or another pastor in this room, or maybe you're just a good speaker in general and you do speech all the time. Maybe you get a lot of compliments about that. Maybe you have good looks. You probably have something in this life that would impress someone else if you were to show off, but the goal of the Christian life is not to impress others, it's to impact others, as Brian Sams has said. The goal of the Christian life, let me say that again, that's something great to write down. The goal of the Christian life is not to impress others, it's to impact others. And if our whole goal in life is simply to show off the talents that God has given to us, we've completely wasted what God has given to us. And I'll just submit to you humbly this evening, and I'm not trying to say this out of pride. I feel like when someone says, let me say something humbly, it's usually out of pride, right? But I have dealt with this my entire career as a pastor. And I'm sure the other pastors have dealt with this, and I'm sure if you're a Sunday school leader, if you work in Awana or you work in any other ministry, isn't it so easy to accept the praise of others that belongs to God? And I think it takes something to be a little bit real about this. But whenever someone says, I got to lead this person to the Lord, sometimes there's a little bit of pride in that, right? And we should be happy and we should be thankful that the Lord has used us, but never should we take the glory and hope that people just notice us and hope that people just notice how great Pastor Scotty is doing or how great Pastor Monty is doing or how great Pastor Ogden is doing and people just worship at the altar. In 1 Corinthians, Paul mentions and he deals with a bunch of issues where people are divided in the church because they are worshiping at the altars of different pastors. May I say this? None of us are greater than God in this room. The foot at the cross, it's level, right? We are all to give all honor and all praise to God. So the reason I'm preaching this message, and I should have opened with this, is because I try to preach whenever I'm asked Sunday evening to preach something. I try to preach something that God has done on my heart. And God has worked on my heart through this message. And these are simply things that I have been working on in my own life. That God, help me not be an idol. Help me not to be an idol to myself to say, hey, let me see how much praise I can get for doing this, or let me see how big of an activity I could do to get this much praise. No, it's not about that. If life is all about the praise and adoration of others, on our deathbeds we are to be most miserable, and most certainly when we are to step into heaven we are to be most miserable. Because in the light of eternity, with a glorious God, the acclaim and the praise that we received on earth that we stole from God, it's not worth it. It's just not worth stealing God's honor. And guess what? Your talents are vain and useless unless used to give God the glory in every single thing that you do. It's all about our motives. I could lead 100 children to the Lord, but if my motives are wrong, God is not going to honor that on my behalf. God's not going to reward me in heaven for that. God's going to say, you know what, I'm glad these people got saved, but Scotty, your motives were off. You were more worried about the numbers than you were the people. Church family, it's not about numbers. Numbers are a good indicator of what we're doing right and growth and things like that, and that's wonderful. But God forbid the day that we get so focused on how much one person is doing over the other that we decide to honor the person and how much they can get accomplished. May I say this? Let's leave behind the church days of how much that one can just get accomplished in his own strength. We must depend upon the strength of Almighty God to do a work on our behalf. And if we do work without the Holy Spirit, why are we even doing it? Where are our motives? What are the idols? Is it yourself? Or is it your possessions? And this is a smaller thing, but many of us, we build up these idols in our life of our possessions to give ourselves glory. Maybe we have the nicest car in the parking lot, or we have the nicest house in the neighborhood, and we want to get honor and glory and compliments for that, when that is due to God and His sovereignty in providing us all of these things and His sufficiency in providing our needs. We often give more glory to what we own than the glory we give to the one who owns us and gives us all blessing. This brings me to my second recognition. Not just recognize the idol in our life, which many of the times is just ourself, but secondly, recognize our own foolishness. Look down at verse number 27. But God hath chosen the foolish. I was studying a little bit of the Greek of the word foolish there. And really what it means is foolish. It comes from a Greek word that basically means dull. And I'm not going to mention the verse. Well, I will mention verse number 26 is specifically, this category of this whole passage of Scripture is specifically talking about preachers. So God has chosen the dull, right? And you could probably realize that in this church. No, I'm just kidding. God has chosen the dull. God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. I think it's somewhat of a blessing for us to realize that we are nothing special in this life. That in 100 years, not many people are going to know our names. We might have a gravestone somewhere where our kids walk by or our grandkids walk by and they say, oh, that was great-grandpa this and this. But really, all that's done in this life, that's done for vain glory, will not last in eternity. And I have thought long and hard about my motives in my Christian life in general, not even as a pastor, but my motives in my Christian life. Because it's kind of difficult as a pastor, maybe you can imagine with me, as a pastor to have your own Christian life motives and to set those aside from your pastor motives, right? Or what you're going to do in ministry. It's been a difficult journey to say, you know what, those need to line up and those somewhat need to separate to realize that I need to give God the glory in both aspects, but it's an encouraging thing to realize that we are kind of dull. Recognize the foolishness. Really what I'm saying is recognize that we're not much. Recognize that God using us is a glorious thing in and of itself, that He would use such weak vessels as us. And God cannot use a vessel full of itself, and we are in desperate need of God. Many of us in life, we try to get the best for ourselves. We try to go out and we try to get the most acclaim. We try to get the most praise. We look out for number one. We try to be a rock star, right? We try to do it all for ourselves. That's the somewhat part of the American dream. I like an illustration that's given by John Getch. And I love telling this illustration. He said it one day and it really stuck with me. He said that much of the world is clinging, and I'm not talking about in the workplace, we need to pursue to be the best of what God has created us to be, and whatever position that means, we need to do our best to the glory of God. But many people in life are clamoring for the top rung of the ladder. Right? We're all clamoring to get to the top rung so we can look down and people can look up at us and see how great we are and how wonderful we are. And once we get to the top, we take a breath and we realize we're at the top of the ladder. Right? We work our whole lives to get there. We got the nicest house, the nicest car. We're the best at this. We're the best at this. People look up to us. But in heaven, God turns the ladder completely on its end. And God says that the people in heaven that are to be most praised and the people that are in heaven that get the most honor, that get the best positions, are not the highly of this world, they're the lowly of this world, that serve God in a quiet place, quietly worshiping their God in a humble manner. I think many very successful people and people even in ministry will one day be at the bottom of this rung. And many of the quiet people that did their best to give God the honor in every single thing they did, and maybe they didn't do everything for the motive of getting the most people around or getting the most things that get praise to their name, those people will be at the top. We are not gods because we are special. We are special because we are gods. God yearns for us to give Him glory. And we must realize that He is the one that adds value to this life, and we are not what adds value to this life. We should be humbly thankful that God allows us to serve Him in daily service to Him. I'm married to my wife, which is right. Amen. I'm married to my wife, Allison, and I'm very thankful that I'm married. I might have been nervous on her wedding day and maybe didn't show it too much, but I was a little bit nervous just because we're getting married. And like when I was singing that weird special we sung, my knees were shaking a little bit. But before that I got married, I had to do something. And young men, you listen up. This will be just in a couple years for many of you. I had to decide where to buy my ring to give her. Right, not just a ring for myself. I had to decide, where am I going to buy the engagement ring? Because I was ready to engage. And we were there in college there at West Coast. And I was in love with my wife. And we had discussed marriage a little bit. And we said, you know what? And guys, you always want to go for kind of the pre-approval a little bit. You know, you always want to drop a little hint there. You know, maybe just ask, hey, but hypothetically, if I ask you to marry me, you say yes, right? You know, if she says no, ask, right? Just to find a different person, right? Go and don't ask that one, right? So we went, and I was there by myself, and I looked all over California, and I realized that things are more expensive in California. So when I went home for one of the breaks, my parents lived in Waynesville at that time. I went to this beautiful jewelry shop, and I thought, for sure there's nothing in this place that I can afford. But I found this really, really expensive ring, right? But this really nice ring in there. But I noticed something when I was going around looking at rings. Until I landed on the fanciest one in the place, you know, of course. But I noticed something, that most of the engagement rings had diamonds. You're like, Pastor Scotty, you are dull, right? But it's an engagement ring. Most of them have diamonds, but something that I noticed while I was in there, I didn't see any aluminum bands surrounding the diamond. I didn't see any bronze bands. I didn't see any iron bands with big old diamonds, those big old chunks like my wife has, that big old 17 karat, you know, that big old thing in there. I didn't see any aluminum or I saw the finest of gold underneath the nicest diamonds. And the bigger the diamond, the higher quality the gold got. And the bigger the gold got, and the nicer it was, and the more refined it was. But may I say this, God is not looking to place His glory, His gospel, in people that are the nicest, like diamond rings are. God has chosen the lowly. It's counterculture to all that we think about when we think about wedding rings. We don't put diamonds in iron. But God has chosen His glorious gospel and the honor to be shown to it inside of the foolishness of this world. Us. Praise the Lord that God isn't looking for the finest of us, because there's none of us good. And God has put His glorious gospel, God has put this ability for us to share inside foolishness. And praise the Lord that He did, because none of us are worthy. Why did He do this though? So that no flesh could glory in His presence. God has put the finest of things, God's glorious gospel, God has put the preaching in this context, the preaching of the glorious gospel of His inside of us to be spread to others. And when you sit back and you think about that, and you think about all the ways that God could have presented His gospel, God can make the skies talk, right? God can make words come out of rocks, and He can make the mountains cry out. God can do all of these amazing things, but He chose me. And He chose you. And for a moment we might think, Lord, why would You do that? But it's so no flesh can glory in His presence. We need to recognize the idol and cast it down. It's so He can get the glory. That brings me to my final recognition this evening. We need to recognize God's position. And I think it's in this final recognition that we truly get perspective on who God is compared to who we are. My favorite passage of Scripture is Isaiah chapter number 40. I love Isaiah chapter number 40 because Isaiah waxes eloquent about the might, majesty, and power of the Almighty God. If you need a fresh perspective on who your God is, turn to Isaiah 40 and have a Bible study. Isaiah 40 is one of the, in my opinion, one of the most powerful and most life-changing passages of Scripture when it comes to the power of God. But 1 Timothy 6:15 also says, which in times He hath shown, who is the blessed only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Nehemiah 9:6, Thou, even Thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein. And Thou preservest them all, the host of heaven worshipeth Thee. You know, we sit in church, maybe on a Sunday night like this, and we came here kind of like zombies. I don't know about you, but I come to Sunday night church kind of like a zombie, right? I've not taken a nap this afternoon. I know, right? I have not taken a nap this afternoon, so I kind of drone into church a little bit, and I feel a little bit lethargic. How many of you are lethargic on Sunday evenings? Just be honest. Just be honest. Three of you, great. I'm the only one. But many of us come into church lethargic, and I don't think it's our heart, it's just our human nature. But we walk into these doors and we sit in these pews and we open the greatest love letter ever written to us with that God has written and that God has shown us the great gift of His Son and God has shown His mighty power. And I think the whole thing just goes right over our heads sometimes. The fact that God, the God of God, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the only potentate, the most powerful God, wants to commune with us, wants to show us His position tonight, is an almighty thing. And we have a great service in even reading His Word, not even talking about it, but even reading His Word this evening. And Isaiah 40 is a great perspective changer when it comes to the might of God. I won't go in, and I don't have time to go in into detail about Isaiah 40, but it talks about how God holds the waters of the entire world in the palm of His hand. And this passage of Scripture is just giving us an example of how big God is. And God says, and He mentions that He meted out heaven. That means that He measured out all the heavens. On the out west trip, we were in Wyoming. And the last night, preacher, the clouds cleared and we were able to see the beautiful sky when you left. And the beautiful sky opened up and we were able to see all around us the beautiful stars. And if you sat out there long enough, you'd see shooting stars. I could sit all night staring at the stars trying to count. Right? Have you ever done that and given up at like 10,000? No, I haven't either. But you could stare up at that sky and it is immense. And I could tell you, and I could go into light years about how fast light travels in a year. It's 5.88 trillion miles. And that's the way we get around our solar system when it comes to astrology. We say that Mars is this many light years. That's 5.88 trillion miles away. And the Bible says that God took all of the heavens that He created and He measured them out with a span, the distance between your thumb and your pinky finger. And God measured all of those with a span. It said that He raises up the isles, that means the islands of the whole earth, as a small thing, that He balanced the hills in a measure, which means that He put the mountains and the different land locations on earth to make the earth rotate on the proper axis so that we would not burn or freeze. It's a perspective changer knowing how big and how powerful God is. And if we knew exactly where we were sitting on this universe and the miracle of this world that we have, have and how powerful God is, no doubt if all of that was revealed to us just sitting here, it would blow our minds. But may I remind you tonight, you don't get the glory for that. And I don't get the glory for that. And we don't get the glory for what we see done in our lives for God. God is to get that glory. God is worthy. Are we giving Him the glory due to His name? Are we giving Him first place in our life? He is worthy of all honor. Don't steal it. Jackie Stern is a joke. To this day, he is not honored. He's not given any valor because people know truly who Jackie Stern is. Jackie Stern, after he was made to give back the Medal of Honor that he had boasted around with, the judge was deciding what to do with Jackie. The people from the community met at the courthouse and the judge was deciding what to do, and they were going to put him in 6 months of jail. They were going to sentence him to 6 months, but instead the judge decided to have him write a letter to each living person that has received the Medal of Honor. So Jackie Stern wrote 171 letters of apology, long letters of apology, to every person that was alive that has received the Medal of Honor. Jackie was also made to write up a huge piece in his local newspaper. By the way, this was embarrassing for Jackie. Can you imagine living a lie for 10 years in your community and being lifted up as a hero and then having to just come out as a complete phony? I mean, you can't go to the grocery store. You can't go fill up your tank of gas. You can't do any of that. So Jackie was made to write on Memorial Day a long piece in the Post about why he was a phony, why he did it, and how sorry he was that he did it. Jackie, to this day, is the laughingstock of his local town because people know who he truly is. Church, we take seriously the matter of stolen valor. And if I were to bring Jackie up here, we would be disappointed in Jackie. But I think each one of us have a little bit of Jackie's issue in us. And it's the issue of stolen honor from God. It's a bigger issue than stolen valor. Stolen honor is a serious problem in church. God and only God knows who we really are. So I would challenge you, as I've challenged myself many times, examine your life. Examine your motives. Examine even maybe why you're here tonight. Are we here to worship God, or are we just here so our pastor sees us or so our friends see us in church? Do we go on visitation or do we not go on visitation? Do we witness to our friends, or is this Christian thing just kind of like a country club? It's kind of a social club that we do on the weekends and Wednesdays. I challenge you to examine yourself. Imagine walking into glory one day, having to explain to God why you stole His honor and glory while you were on earth. I can't imagine that. Are you taking His honor? Are you stealing His glory? I'll finish with this. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You tonight. Father, I pray that if there are many among us tonight, and no doubt there are, people that realize that we have stolen Your honor at times. Father, we have received glory that only belongs to You and we have taken it upon ourselves as our own. Father, may we repent of this evening. Father, may we get this reset in our minds, and I know it's such an acceptable sin to go ahead and take that honor and glory for ourselves, but Father, may we have a mindset change on who You are and may that change how we behave. Father, You're mighty. Father, You're the only person worthy of honor and glory, and I pray tonight that we give You the due respect due to Your name by giving You the honor and the glory in the way that we eat, in the way that we drink, and whatsoever we do. Lord, help us to give You the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Pastor Monty.